You're listening to the Blissful Bites podcast, episode 195.
Welcome to Blissful Bites, a food entrepreneur podcast. Each week, we bring you a successful woman, inspiring message, or business tip to help you build a sustainable business you're proud of. Now, your host, Nicole Culver.
Hello, and welcome to another episode here on the Blissful Bites podcast. I hope you all are having a wonderful day, and today is officially the first day of Blogger Summer Camp, so I'm so excited, and we are kicking it off with a welcome video over in the Blogger Summer Camp Facebook group, and we're really ready to just take control of our blog and our business, so I'm super excited for everyone who has joined us. And today, I have a really exciting interview for you with Lindsay, who is the Food Mood Girl, and I'm really excited about this interview because she's basically everything that we talk about on this podcast. She has really embraced an amazing career as a health coach and a speaker and has done some really, truly amazing things. And she's sharing them with you today on this podcast. She's talking about her journey, how she has become a speaker, how she's done a TED Talk. And it's really amazing and inspiring. If anyone can inspire you to go from blogger to true entrepreneur, speaker, and to get paid for what you're doing, then it's going to be Lindsay Smith. So I'm really excited to bring you this episode, so I don't want to delay any further. But of course, please reach out to her if you find this episode inspiring. Come on over to the Blissful Bites community on Facebook and tell me what you thought of this episode. And if you're so inclined and you really love it, then please share it with someone and go over to iTunes and leave us a review as well. So I'll talk to you guys soon. I hope you really enjoy this podcast episode with Lindsay Smith, the Food Mood Girl. Lindsay Smith, aka the Food Mood Girl, is a Pittsburgh-based author, health coach, and speaker nationally recognized for her work. Best known for her books, Junk Foods and Junk Moods, and Food Guilt No More, Lindsay has reached thousands of people looking to enhance their mood, decrease their anxiety, and learn to love themselves just a little more. As a TEDx speaker, Lindsay has been featured both on stage and in the media nationwide. Hey, Lindsay.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. I feel like we have so much to talk about.
I know. We could be here all day. So
I know. So tell everyone a little bit about you and what you do.
So I am a health and wellness coach and an author and a speaker and known as the Food Mood Girl. So basically, I write books, speak about them, talk about them, and sometimes I even rap about them. So
how fun is that?
Yeah. So you never know what you're going to get with me.
I love that. How did you get into all of this? Have you always been in the health coach space? Is this like your second job? How'd you get here?
So I joke and I say I've been doing this work since I was 12 years old because when I was 12, I was diagnosed with anxiety. I had severe panic attacks in school. I was actually hospitalized once for severe panic attacks. And as crazy as this sounds, as a 12-year-old, I just remember thinking to myself, I was going to middle school the next year, and I just remember thinking to myself, this is not how I want my middle school and high school years to be. Like, I don't want to be like this. And I went to my parents and I said, hey, can I get help for this? I really think that I can overcome this, but I need some support. And so we reached out to different people, and what ended up working is I went to a health and wellness center. So you can kind of think of it like a health coach that I went to. That wasn't a term back then, but that would be what it is now. And he just really helped me look at the mind-body-spirit approach. And within 6 months of working with him, my anxiety was nearly gone. And by the time I was in ninth grade, I actually started teaching stress management workshops at state conferences and student council. So I've literally been doing this for a very long time, but I got serious about it when I was about 21, I decided to make this a career.
Wow, that is an awesome story. And little did you know that you would become the food mood girl. Maybe you did know back when you were 12.
Right? I had no idea.
So how did you get that name? Because it's such a good name. It's so catchy. And I feel like it perfectly describes what you do. So how did that name come to be?
So this is actually another funny thing. I was in Costa Rica with a health and nutrition conference. I actually won a contest at this health coaching school that I went to, and we got to go to Costa Rica with a group of like 50 of us. And I was really struggling. My name before that, it was The Real You. And I was like, yeah, I just want people to like come into themselves and find who they really are, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I just, what I really wanted was to teach them this food and mood thing. And I was struggling with that. And so I'm in Costa Rica and I was just kind of riffing with one of the business coaches that was there. And she, you know, we kind of were going back and forth. And one of my inspirations actually was The Hungry Girl, because I just felt I really liked her brand. I liked how she was able to encompass what she did in a very short amount of time. And so that's really when Food Mood Girl, you know, birthed. And at first I wasn't even sure about the name. I was, you know, of course, like anytime you do something new, you're a little hesitant. And now, obviously years later, I'm very grateful and happy that that kind of transpired then.
Yeah. And I love how you continued to move forward though, even though you weren't 100% certain in your name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's one thing that I encourage everyone is sometimes you just have to get in there and do it and try something and see if it works. And if it does, great. If it doesn't, tweak it and move on. But I think so many people are afraid of just even starting or just, you know, going after something because they think, oh, well, once I hit 10,000 followers on Instagram, then I'll be worthy of doing this thing. But my motto is just always just try it now, do it now, jump in, see what happens, and you'll learn from it and grow from it.
I'm so obsessed that you just said that because that is seriously all I talk about on this podcast and in my Facebook groups and just with my clients, that you don't need to wait. Nothing is going to change when you hit that magic number that you've been hoping to get. You just need to do it now.
And I know we may talk about this, but I have the perfect example of this. So I have self-published several books, and my last book was with a small independent press. And, you know, while I've developed this brand, it's interesting because most of what I do is a lot of in-person things. I do speaking, I'm on a speaking agency, I'm always, you know, going around and giving talks, but that doesn't always necessarily translate into social media numbers. And so because of that, it's not like I have thousands and thousands of followers. People know, you know, people may know who I am or have been on the blog, but you know, as far as social media wasn't, I like it, but it wasn't where I spent my energy. I spent my energy speaking and connecting in person. And when I was thinking about my latest book, I really wanted to go the traditional route, get an agent, and pitch it that way. And, you know, at first I was like, well, they're really concerned about numbers and all they want to see is that I have these, you know, crazy numbers. And there are certain agents that were like, unless you have 500,000 people on fans on Facebook, I'm not going to talk to you. And it kind of freaked me out, but I was like, you know what? I have this idea. I believe in it. I know how to self-publish. I know how to go with a small press. So the worst case scenario, the book's going to get out there, but I want to at least try. And when I reached out, I had 8 agents offer me representation on the spot, and I had a book deal within 2 months of signing with an agent. And it's not because I had the best numbers or it's not any of that. It's because I've taken time to get my feet wet, to, you know, to develop things, to create a brand that is more than just social media, that actually goes places and connects with people. And so, you know, I say this because I like to encourage other people, especially bloggers and food bloggers, that, you know, we often focus on those things, which is good to think about. But if you have a really good idea and something unique and something that you truly believe in, I think you should just go for it, because someone, you know, they're going to see that energy. They're going to see that passion. They're going to see those things that you do. And that's what's going to make the difference. Sure, the social media numbers won't hurt, but it's not what's going to really drive your book or your project or whatever it happens to be forward.
Yes, so, so true. And I love how you said that you put your energy into speaking and building those in-person relationships, because to be honest, we can't do every single thing well, and you really have to zero in on what that big thing is to move your business forward. So I love that you knew that for you, that was speaking and in-person relationships.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, 100%.
So how did you get to this point? Because we all know that it wasn't overnight. You became a nationally recognized author and you have all these speaking gigs and you're a TEDx speaker. So what was that process like, or what was that journey like for you to get to this point?
Mm-hmm. I think it's still evolving. You know, I still am just trying to reach higher and higher and do more things, and push myself. But I think for me personally, it was being, I don't even want to say consistent, because I am definitely someone that likes to do a lot of things, but I think for me, the number one thing is authenticity. And so I always want to do things that align with my values and what I, you know, what I put out into the world, and not compare myself to other people, but to do things in the way that I would. Like, I'm quirky. I rap sometimes. I think I'm funny, but maybe other people don't. and I just, you know, and that's the type of, that's what I want to put forward. And if something feels, even when I speak to, this is so funny, even when I speak to corporations who, you know, people are like, oh, it's a little bit more, you know, uptight there. You may want to tone it down. I'm like, well, they hired me because they know who I am. Like, I'm going to be myself. And so that means I may rap for you, even though this is a, you know, a corporation or an accounting conference or whatever it is, because this is who I am. And I think being that way has actually helped my career, because people feel a connection to who I am, and they can relate to me, because that's always been my goal. And I think doing that and putting myself out there has been really helpful. And then the one tip that I could give people that has completely changed my life, and this is something I used to be, I went to school for PR, and before I did this, I did publicity for a health and wellness company. So I like wearing my little publicity hat, but one of the things that I've done every single day since I started was I reach out to 1 to 3 people a day. Or, you know, sometimes I'll combine that by the week if I'm really busy, and then maybe one day I'll reach out to like 10 people. And what I do is I either send a thank you, like, hey, you know, thinking of you, thanks so much for this thing. Or I'll say, hey, you know, saw that article, I really loved it. Or maybe it's a request, like, hey, maybe you would want to partner and do this. Like, I would, like with you, Nicole, I was just thinking about you last week, and I said, hey, you know, I just thought of this. Sorry, it's last minute, but I think this would be a cool opportunity. And I'm always doing that. And because of that, I've been able to really build connections. And I got so many people doing that, including my husband, just reaching out to people and connecting in that more personal way, I think really helps build solid connections as opposed to maybe just kind of fake connections, you know?
Yes, it's so true. And that, I'll say that I haven't been as consistent with it, but I do try and do it at least once a week. But you're going to motivate me to do it at least every single day with a set number. But just yesterday, I was going through my Facebook group, and I sent a couple people a message that I knew were kind of having harder times in the past few weeks. And this is my free group. And I just sent them a message to say that I was thinking of them. And you couldn't believe, like, they were so blown away that I took, it was 10 seconds out of my day to just leave them a message. But so I love that you do that too. And I think people don't put emphasis on that human interaction enough today. So when you do, it really, really makes a difference for people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I love that you did that, because, you know, it's not even about what, you know, taking away like what you're going to get out of it. I mean, I think making, you know, not thinking of it like, oh, well, if I say something to them, then they'll really remember me. But that's not the point. It's you're doing that from a place of genuine authenticity, a place of, you know, I am concerned about these people. I do love this group. I love supporting this group. I love connecting and helping these people. And I genuinely do want to know. And through that, you just build such a deep connection with people, even if it's online, even if you've never met this person in real life, there's now kind of a bond and a connection and a sense that they have with you that they didn't otherwise.
Yes. Know? Yes. So, so true. So now before we, because I do really want to talk about like your 52 ways to love your body more and that process. But before we move on from the speaking, do you have any tips? Because I know that I have a lot of people in my audience who would love to do more speaking. How do you just get started doing that?
So getting started, I definitely recommend, you know, a lot of things are for free and, you know, getting in front of audiences. And I like to, when I was first getting started, I reached out to places that I knew people that could potentially hire me were sitting in. So I would offer to do something for free, knowing that the audience was my exact clientele to maybe have me at their organization or event. So maybe like an HR conference or something like that, and offer a unique workshop that may be something, you know, in health and wellness that they weren't seeing and was new and exciting for them. And then, you know, all these HR representatives were at one place and I'm able to speak in front of them. And then they would essentially want to hire me to go back to their organizations. So I think that's a really great way to do speaking. Creating a pitch as well. I know people don't want to do this. People, you know, people want someone to do it for them and book it for them. And that's fine, but you definitely have to be at a certain place. And even if you have a booking agent, you're still going to have to do the work. My husband's a musician and, you know, it's the same thing with speaking. You know, you can have an agent, but you still have to be out there making the connections, getting people interested in your work to make you essentially a little bit sellable. But you can always start just reaching out to connections that you have, you know, even on your Facebook page, say, hey, I'm looking to do some speaking workshops. Would any of your companies be interested? You'd be surprised how many people are like, oh, actually we have a wellness committee, or, oh, we're looking for speakers to talk about work-life balance. And, you know, how many friends will come, you know, to the surface to help you out, because I think it's something that, you know, people like to help and connect with. And then the next thing would be, the last tip that I have would be to start calling yourself a speaker. I think so many of us are like, oh, I'd love to do more of that, but there's no certification when it comes to speaking. So I don't know if I can do that, because how will people believe that I'm a speaker? But that's the truth. There is no certification. And so you have to really own it. You have to say, you know what? This is something I want to do. I'm going to put it on my resume, on my bio, on my website, on my email signature. And you'll be surprised. People will be like, oh, I didn't know you speak. Or as soon as I changed my signature on my email, I kid you not, I booked 4 talks. And it was just because people didn't know that was something that I offered.
Yeah, that's such, and I've actually heard that before. It hasn't motivated me to do that yet, but I have heard that before. And I also just want to go back to the thing that you said a few minutes ago, is that you never change who you are based on your audience, because then it would almost be like a switch that you were doing, and the people who hired you would be like, wait, that's not the person who I thought was coming. So I just want to go back to that piece of like always being yourself and always staying true to who you are.
Yeah, this was an important lesson for me, because I totally bombed a talk once. Well, probably many times. I know many times, but one of the ones that I'm thinking about, I was so nervous because it was just not a group that I was used to or comfortable speaking in front of, but I was excited about it. And I thought that I had to change in order to appease them. And so I took out the humor. I took out my rap at the end. I took some of that stuff out, and it honestly just fell flat, and they weren't really excited. And I realized, you know, I was trying to change who I was for this organization, But if I realized, you know, they've probably seen my, have seen my rap videos. They probably have seen the different types of speaking that I do. I don't think they just, you know, hired me out of, you know, just because they Googled me and said, oh, this person has a cool name. Let's try her. I'm sure they did their research. And so, you know, just, I think that was a point where I was like, you know what, I need to just be myself. And in fact, if I'm more of myself, I think people, you know, some people aren't going to like it for sure, but I think that people will at least appreciate that I'm genuine and I'm not up there just trying to be someone I'm not, because people can sense that. And I'll never forget, I was speaking to this group of engineers, and it was after that talk that I gave that I bombed, and I was so nervous because I'm like, okay, I'm going to go out there and be myself and I'm going to do this rap and hopefully they don't think I'm crazy. And the funny thing is, they absolutely loved it, because for them, it was something fun. It was something different. It's not like they were trying to get up there and rap about fruits and vegetables, but when I did it, it made everything more relatable. And so that was when I truly realized, like, okay, you know, this is just who I am and this is what I need to bring. And regardless if it's an engineer or if it's, you know, a health coaching and a blogging conference, like, it's the same person, the same type of energy. I may tweak stories a little bit, and that's fine, to be more, you know, to relate more to that audience, but I'm not going to change who I am.
Yes, absolutely. And I love how you said, I mean, we all make mistakes when we are starting out, and even, I mean, we make mistakes no matter where you are. There's no, like, all of a sudden you're magically perfect, but you still have to do it and you make changes as you go along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's evolving. And I think especially with speaking, people are nervous because they think, well, you know, I have to have this talk perfect. It has to be, you know, the best way. But a lot of times with speaking, I learned so much from audiences. You know, I learn even, I'm in actually a stand-up class right now. And one of the things that, it's so funny because I'm the only speaker. So they're all stand-up comedians in this class and I'm the only one speaking. And one of the things that the instructor was saying is, oh yeah, you have to get to open mics because that's where you practice. I mean, you could sit there and do a joke all day long to your mirror, you know, but you're not going to really gauge how that lands until you're in front of people. And then from there, you're able to then take that joke and tweak it. And then I thought about that and I was like, you know, it's actually very similar with speaking, whereas, you know, you bring your content and you're able to share that content and tweak it along the way. You may say, oh, you know what, this really resonated with them, or you know what, I gave too much content, I need to pull back a little because they looked overwhelmed. And then you take that formula that you've created, and then over time you just tweak it and tweak it and tweak it and tweak it, and then you know, a year later, 2 years later, however long you've been doing these similar talks, then you really have that base. You'll know what will make someone laugh, what they'll be engaged in, when it's too much, what story you can use for what audience. You have this tool belt of things to use, as opposed to thinking that you have to get it perfect the first time.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. That was such a good point. And you'll never know unless you start doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So what has been like the coolest speaking engagement that you've done in the past year?
Oh, the past year. Well, I'll say my 1 year TEDx anniversary was yesterday. So that was really cool. And that was actually a huge challenge for me because I had to basically give a talk in 10 minutes and it forced me to actually simplify, which was really cool because that I was able to do something that I haven't done before, which is really learning how to simplify content and knowing that you don't have to give everything away, which I learned that years before, but simplifying even more was such an incredible process. And now I'm like, why don't I always do 10 minute talks? But I think that one was probably, I think, a huge highlight specifically for me. As far as the most fun talk I've ever done, probably, this actually wasn't a talk, but it's on my YouTube page. And it was a a nutrition conference, and there's this group called Rapping for Prevention, and they're actual rappers. Like, it's a whole rap group, a whole entourage, and they rap about exercise and eating healthy. And they're these dudes that were basically, I think they were convicts, and they just reformed themselves, and they came out and they started this group together, and they're so inspiring and they're so awesome. And when I went to the conference, the organizer was like, "Oh, I told the Rapping for Prevention guys that you were here, you know, the other rappers in the house." And I'm like, "What? Why? Like, no, like, this is, you know, my thing's my thing's fun and kind of a joke, but they're the real deal. Like, they have CDs, they have albums, you know, like, that's, this is what they do." And so I go and I, you know, walk in the room and I said, "Hey, you know, Rose sent me down here. I'm, you know, here to maybe like do a rap or something." And they just kind of looked at me like, "Oh my goodness, this is the person they sent down." and so they were so sweet, and they invited me to, I guess, quote unquote, open for them and perform my rap. And it was, the video is really funny, but they helped me like with this little introduction thing. And then they ended up at the end, they came, like, they weren't sure, cause they didn't see it beforehand. So the first time they were seeing it was when the audience was seeing it, and the audience was just going crazy. And afterwards they came up to me and like bowed down to me, cause they were just like not expecting me to do that. So that was just a really fun moment.
That is so funny. I looking at your website and everything, you totally threw me off when you said that you rap.
Yeah, I'm trying to do more. I haven't been able to create as many raps as I've wanted to in the past few years, but because I've been pretty busy. But with my next book coming out, I'm hoping to make a signature rap based upon that and do a video for it. So,
oh my gosh, I love that. I hope you will share that with us.
Oh, absolutely.
So just to end up, will you tell everyone where they can find you? I know you have a ton of amazing freebies on your website, like your Craving Kicker Chart. So where can they find you, and how can they get your free download?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can go to foodmoodgirl.com, and everything is there, all my social media, things like that. And then I'm very active on Twitter and Instagram, and it's just at Lindsay Smith HHC. And yeah, if they have any questions about anything, speaking, writing books, rapping, rap careers, just kidding, can't help you with a rap career, but anything else, I'd be more than happy. Food and mood, obviously, I'd be happy to help.
Thank you so much. You were so much fun. And I know that they're going to get so much out of this interview.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I really, really appreciate it. And I can't wait to connect even more.
You can find more information about Lindsay at NicoleCulverBlog.com/podcast.
This has been Blissful Bites, a food entrepreneur podcast. Thanks for listening.